But we had a good time. We really did. It's a pretty beautiful place. I had the opportunity last week to speak at the Southern Hills Church of Christ where my son attends, and that was an awesome experience. We've always had a good time with them. I told him, you know, sometime when you get a little older in life and people ask you questions and, you know, say, what are you most proud about with your children? You know, their careers or anything. And I tell them all the time, I'm more satisfied and more gleeful about the fact that they're strong Christians and they're faithful Christians. So I told the church that last week. I thanked them for taking care of my family out there because it is a wonderful congregation, but we couldn't wait to get back because we missed being home. So then, I know Brother Tim did a wonderful job as always, and those who stepped in to keep things going. And so, but I am glad to be back at home and be amongst the folks that I love so dearly. Subject title this morning. Yep, I'm gonna cut it on. I brought it up here this time at least. I'm getting better. Milk or meat? Milk or meat? You may say, well, Brother Parker, what you talking about that for? Because I actually didn't eat breakfast this morning. You're making me hungry. That's not the purpose. But I want us to think, you know, more times at this time of year, many folks are focused on what many folks are given, are deemed the term, or given the term New Year's resolutions. And I don't know about that. And I guess it's good to have goals. I like to use goals a little bit better on, but I think sometimes many folks really fail to examine where they are spiritually in regards to God. Milk or meat? You may say, well, what does that have to do with where I am with God? Well, that's also an indication of where our spiritual growth is. And I want to challenge us, probably this week, and I probably won't finish the lesson up this week. I got a two-part to it, so we'll finish it up next week probably. But when you think about it, what are you feeding your soul? Is it milk or meat? You may say, well, you know, is that a different set of words? Is it a different set of gospels? Is it a different Bible that we have? But the same word is, based on where we are, it could either be milk or meat. Now, when I think about milk, I think about my little grandson, and he's knocking down bottles like it ain't nobody's business. And he's knocking back to back, you know what I'm saying? So I know he's growing, and he has a healthy appetite. But I also noticed that, you know, when we were out there, that he got some choppers coming in, as I like to say. About three of them that's showing through. So he's about ready for some, well, folks that term table food, so to speak. So we know some of them start getting earlier, and that's what they decided. But, you know, you think about that. You think about the progression of a young infant, how they go from maybe infant to an older infant to a toddler, and you see the progression. Now, Maya, she eats up everything she can. She loves it, especially chicken nuggets. That's her favorite food. Everything goes with chicken nuggets. She has a pretty good diet, but I know she loves that. So, but she's a different diet. A different diet, and you probably could, maybe if you wanted to, we have you tools and utensils now to kind of parade stuff. I guess if you wanted to parade some chicken nuggets and give it to Elias, you probably could, but it might not be as good, but it's still the same food. It's still the same essence. So when we think about God's word, we got to question ourselves of whether we own milk or meat. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to begin at verse number. I want to go back up and get verse number because to get the whole entirety so we can get everything in its context. We'll go back up and get verse number 5. I'm going to stop at verse number 14. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 5 through 14. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 5 through 14, and it reads as such. So also, Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he hath said also in another place, Thou art priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, and offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him, that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 11 says this, Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even though who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, when you look at this particular passage, Paul is often given credit for writing the book of Hebrews. He's going into some deep truths here. Beginning at verse number 5, he's talking about Christ coming after the order of Melchizedek. And that's a whole other lesson, a serious lesson of himself. But Paul is really trying to get something deep into him. He's really trying to help them understand, first of all, that Jesus Christ was more than they ever thought they were going to be. And the more we grow as Christians, we'll understand that Christ is so much more than we thought he was when we became new converts or obeyed the gospel. He is so much more than somebody who just forgives sins. He is so much more than somebody who helps us out in times of trouble. He is so much more than somebody who will fight battles against your enemies. He's so much more than that. But Paul had to pause here. He says, before I go any further, some of y'all are still on milk. Now, it's not a compliment at this point in time, and we know, because 1 Peter chapter 2, I believe, or 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, you know, as babes in Christ, you desire the sincere milk of the word, right? So there are certain times we ought to desire the sincere milk of the word. Using my grandson Elias before, now if he's not drinking milk, based on where he is, that's a problem. That's what his desire is. He can't wait to get another bottle in his mouth and have at it, so to speak. But somebody who's 5 years old, 15 years old, on the same bottle as an infant, that's a problem there. Now I want you to think about it in your own spiritual walk, in your own spiritual journey. Are you on milk or meat? If you are no further along, understanding, not only understanding, but applying God's word, then my brothers and sisters and friends, you're still on milk. If the word of God does not move you to convict your heart, to do better, to change, then you're still on milk. If all you're concerned about is coming to worship so nobody will call you or talk to you or remind you, you're still on milk. If somebody has to literally beg you to do the things that God says, the Bible says, is only our reasonable service, then you're on milk. You and I can be in the church 20, 30, 40 years, but it does not matter based on our physical age. What is your spiritual age right now? Are you more dedicated to serve God than you were last year at this time? Does God's word mean a little bit more to you today than it meant yesterday? This is some serious self-examination that a lot of Christians don't have to look at themselves. The Bible also tells us to examine yourselves on a continual basis to see whether you're in the faith. So as I'm giving this lesson tool to help us all, because I had to do some growing up as well, and I got some more growing to do because we never become full grown, but we always want to make sure that we're progressing in the way God wants us to progress. And that doesn't mean you progress at the same rate as somebody else. But understand this, growing is not an option. The pace may be, but growing is not an option. Where are you right now? What does Christ really mean to you right now? Think about that for a moment. And are you giving the same response you gave a year ago? 2 years ago? 5 years ago? Milk or meat? Paul has some problems there. He says, I want to go deeper. There's so much more I want to tell you because he was being led by the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit. There's so many more things I have for you, but you can't handle it right now. You digressed. You have become what many folks call dull of hearing. Paul here speaks in discussing Christ in regards to Melchizedek. During the priesthood of Christ, all that includes, because Christ is a high priest. For those folks who are out here believing there's a such thing as clergy or laity, they're sincerely wrong. There's no such thing as clergy, laity, laymen, or anything else. Because in the book of 1 Peter, it tells us we are the holy priesthood. If I wear a backwards collar, everybody needs to have a backwards collar. If I get a front parking place with clergy out there, if I get me a tag with clergy on my car, then everybody else better get one too. But that's not what the world says. Besides, they're missing the point. Christ is a high priest, and we're all priests. We are the holy priesthood. There is no such thing as that. There is no ecclesiastical body that makes decisions for us. We have leaders that are called elders and deacons in the large church, but all those other things are foreign. Amen. And then Paul goes into more detail when he talks about, Peter does, saying that, first of all, you don't exercise lordship over it because it's not yours anyway. This is not ours. This is the Lord's church that we are members of and with different roles and responsibilities. Paul wanted to tell them more. He wanted to tell the church more, but they were dull of hearing. And some people say, well, what does dull of hearing mean? Dull of hearing comes from the Greek word nothros. It literally means no push, no effort. Man, because I hear stuff. Man, I read the Bible. I listen to my little Bible. I listen to my gospel songs. But you ain't pushing nowhere to change. You're not doing any better. You're not more faithful in your attendance. So maybe you and I are in this category if it fits. Other meanings include sluggish, indolent, slow to move, hearing, use of ears to move the soul. They had grown tired of systematic study of the Bible. You know how that's a big problem here? Because we have 5 to 10 people here on Wednesday nights. That's sad, family. That's sad. We make time for anything else we want. We have folks that come in and never attend the wonderful Bible studies we have. We have folks today who've been in the church. And this is me speaking. I love you, but it's a castor medicine. I love you and give you a hug on the way out. Who've been in the church for years, couldn't tell you how many Bibles are still on the Bible. Couldn't tell you whether the book of Enoch is in the Old Testament or New Testament. Now, some people say, yeah, I know it's in the Old Testament. New. It ain't even in the Bible that we got. See? Are you good students of your Bible? Are they more than just glorified coasters on your coffee table? Or is it more than just an app you get on your phone at some time when you're having a bad moment? Sometime when, you know, things ain't going right, you pull up a scripture and just read it and then close it back. They become dull of hearing. Where are you right now? How important is God's word to your growth right now? Do you wake up with an intent to study? Not just read. I'm talking about study. We know that more than reading is more than that. Look at the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. He says, how can I understand except some man show me? It's more than just being able to read. Some of us got great reading skills. And this is something I really want us to maybe change on because it's going to make all the difference in your spiritual walk from now on and growth. What does the word of God mean to you? There are some folks, again, that are not just standing still because you're either progressing or you're going backwards. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. That was some folks that were going backwards. How do we know this? It says this. For when the time you ought to be teachers, there comes a point in time when you go from being taught to being teachers. And you may say, well, Brother Parker, I never teach in an organized class. I understand all. Everybody had that talent. But you should be teaching somebody what they must do to be saved. When is the last time you and I decided to sit down and talk to a wayward family member? Or a neighbor, or a friend, or an enemy, and told them what God's plan is for salvation? When's the last time we've done that? You know what? We got a preacher for that. No, that's everybody's responsibility. When's the last time that you maybe knew someone who is strayed away that you took the initiative to reach out to and call? For the time when you ought to be teachers, a good amount of time had progressed. We get the picture here, a good amount of time had passed. This wasn't somebody who was baptized 2 weeks ago. This was some folks who should have known better. And not more importantly, should have grown better. Should have grown better. The church is full of folks like this. But we got to do better, guys. There's souls at stake. And this is me at the front of the line. I must do a better job of studying and reaching out to folks. We're all in the same boat. This lesson cut both coming and going. This is a double-edged sword. So I'm preaching to myself as well. But it seems like they're going backwards. What about us? More of a need now than ever for us to do Christ's will, which is to seek and to save the lost. We look at this world. This world is in shambles. And we talk about it, that Christ is the only solution, but our actions don't prove it. They don't prove it. When we say those things, it sounds a nice little cliche to say that Jesus is the only hope for this world, but then what? And if it is, why are we still keeping hope from the world that needs it? Somebody that might not like it. What does that got to do with us? The Bible just told us to go and teach. He does the converting, or the word does the converting. We got to get the word out there. What about us today? Why the need? We ought to be teachers. It's not meant in a public sense, but we are all commanded to go and teach the lost. The focus is should be on taking the gospel to the whole world. It ought to be a normal development process and maturity process of every Christian. Every Christian. You know people I don't know, and I know people you don't know. There's lost folks all around us. What is the church doing about it? You know what? I've been in the church for 50 years. I'm tired of what? You still got breath in you. You still know some folks who hadn't obeyed the gospel. Doesn't mean you beat them over the head with it, but you always do things with them in mind. Always. Still using milk. Hebrews 5:13 says this. When it says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Oh, my goodness. Now, what does that mean? That means that we have not developed the ability on a consistent basis to use God's words for every problem that we come into contact with. Many times, the first time we see problem signs of trouble and headache, we go left. The Bible has an answer for everything, folks. There's nothing that you'll read in the Bible or that you'll have an encounter in life that the Bible doesn't have an answer for, either in direct example or inference. So why do we run and hide and like there's no such thing and there's no way for help in our life? When God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, He's given them to us. We're not using them. And that's what it says right here. You're unskillful in the word. You know it, but unskillful. Nobody in the right mind would go hunting with somebody who don't have at least basic training about gun safety. That's just stupid. Now, I used to wonder why that, you know, when I was growing up, my dad used to, I used to hunt a lot too. I don't hunt too much at all, hardly at all anymore. But when I used to grow up, my dad used to say things like this, son, don't go hunt with everybody. So what that means, everybody ain't serious about guns. They just out there for show sometimes. Sometimes they don't care whether somebody's in the crossfire or anything. They see something jump up, they shooting. Many folks have gotten shot and had bad accidents and situations like that. You know, so we got to be skillful in the word we use because you can cut up and shoot up a whole lot of folk. That's why we got to be skillful. But the only way you're doing it is using it. That's the only way that we become better at our skills is use it. There's no magic bullet. If I want to be a better jump shooter, I got to shoot at least a couple of hundred shots a day. If I want to be better at my trade, I got to continue to do it so I become more skillful at it. It's not going to happen by osmosis. You're not going to be able to sleep on a book of instructions and get up and know how to do it. It takes practice. Whatever you want to do in life, whatever goals you have, it takes practice and consistency. And one of the reasons why we're not, and some of us are still on milk, is because we are not consistent in our spiritual growth. We're not consistent. And we wonder why the same problem trips up today that did yesterday. We wonder why the same thing gets us all the time. Every time. First Corinthians, pure milk of the word should be desired by infants or spiritual babes, newborn babes, it says in 1 Peter 2 and 2. 1 Corinthians 3 and 2, Paul had to feed Corinth with milk. And what was one of the signs that was on milk? They was arguing and fussing and fighting. Whenever that's present, that's the folks on milk, on Similac. That's what we used to call it. They're on Similac. Breath smell like Similac in the spiritual sense. That's not what God's word is about. Doesn't mean you don't have disagreements, but it also means it doesn't come to the point where it interferes with God's work. Every Christian must strive to develop in order to eat meat. And this is something that nobody else can do for you. Because you can drag, you can almost drown a horse in water, but you can't make them drink. Still using milk. Hebrews 5:14 says this. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We must have head and heart discipline to grow in Christ. Not just heart. Oh, my heart's for Jesus, but where's your head? Where's your thought life? Where's your desire? Where's your determination? Where's your dedication to serving the Master? My heart's right there with Jesus, and then we try to prop it up by saying stuff like this. Well, you know what? Jesus knows my heart. Yeah, he does. He knows mine too. But most folks, when they're saying it, they're not saying it, saying that I'm weak, humble heart. That's just an excuse for them to stay right where they're at. What about us today? Man, time is running short. One of the things I noticed, and I guess I'm just getting older, is I was watching something. It's a good little excerpt I think I saw maybe in one of the social media outlets, and it's talking about how brief life is and what life really is. Now, please understand this. I'm not trying to look at it in a very bad way. I'm not really trying to do that, but I really want to understand how important each and every day is. And the person made the point of this. He says, you know what? Do you really understand what life's about? Somebody said, yeah, I understand what life's about. And they said, well, you know, do you really? Ask them three times, do you really understand? And they said, like, well, of course, I just said I did. He said, but you realize that after you take your last breath, they're going to have your funeral. They may cry over you. At the end of that process of having a funeral, they may come over to your house and feed you, feed the family, get fed. Somebody still be crying. Somebody be talking about what they're going to do tomorrow. Somebody going to be talking about getting drunk that night in your memory. Next week happens. Life moves on. It moves on. And I'm not trying to just upset anybody, but I'm talking about how important it is to serve God right now. And those folks, they said they would never forget about you. You stop coming up in conversations more often. You do. The person you thought you couldn't live without, sometimes you find a way to move on. I'm not trying to make it, you know, any kind of, in a negative sense. I'm just talking about the way that life goes on. You spent 60, 50, 40, 30, 80, 90 years here. Are you expecting people around us to be able to help you in judgment? No, sir, no, ma'am. When we die and take our last breath, the only thing left for us is judgment. You and I are going to have to stand before God and answer the question, did I stay on milk or did I move towards meat? That's what happens. Everything's going on. Life itself moves on until Christ comes back and destroys the world and gets it. Life itself is going to move on in some form or fashion. I always tell folks this time, if you think folks can't live without you, just die and see what happens. And I'm not, again, please, I'm not trying to upset anybody, but I want you to just think about what life is really about. What are you putting in place for your spiritual growth and your relationship with God? Everything's going to be gone. Even your life on this side of the existing world is soon going to be over. 3 score plus 10, 4 score is about the average. Then what? So all the time we spend on stuff that's non-essential, that won't matter in judgment, what's that going to do for us? I think about that a lot, family, because maybe I'm getting older, and I see just, you know, some of you old enough, more than old enough to be my parents. I'm blessed you're still here, but I know you understand. The older you on this earth, the more people you see leaving you. The more people you see leaving. That's just the nature of life, and we have to accept it. Somebody said that death is not a part of life. Death is life. It really is. What do we spend our time on? Oh, my goodness. There are going to be so many folks who said, but God, I did this and I had this going on and I really wanted to study, but you said I had this full schedule and, you know, I really wanted to dedicate myself more to you in worship, but you just didn't understand. I was tired from working all week and, you know, God, and you're still on milk. we must leave behind. Neglect of study and meditation will stunt our growth, no doubt about it. It directly results, think about this now, it directly results in immoral living and sin. I can guarantee you, if you're still on milk, sin is still ruling and reigning in your life. That's a guarantee, not because I said it, because the Bible said it, because you're unskilled in handling the word of righteousness so that you can develop your sense of discernment of good and evil and stay away from evil more often than you run to it. This makes us ill-prepared to enter into the deep of truth. That's why as we grow as Christians, you'll understand that, man, you could read a verse 100 times, but that 101st time, it's like you never read it before. It gives you a whole new meaning. I get so excited. I was sitting in class, a wonderful class, and we're still doing a character study in there. And as Joshua was teaching a lesson, I'm sitting there like, I ain't never get that out of that. Now, how many times have I read about Jacob and Esau and Rachel? Man, I'm sitting there like making, I got all kind of notes right down here in the side margin of my Bible. Like, you know what? I didn't really, but I read it. I even understood. I could quote it. But it meant something different this time. That's the beauty of God's word. And we lay it aside. We can use our senses to discern between good and evil. Senses are not physical senses and what we can feel, touch, taste, feel, and smell. That's not what we're talking about here. There's a spiritual side of us that's able to pick up, sometimes see evil from a long way away, and spot it, and go the other direction, or start to gird up your loins and buckle down because it's coming. You know, all the fiery darts of the devil should catch us by surprise. Let's say that. He's shooting them, but maybe that's one of them catching you by surprise, and you ain't got your arm on, and you ain't looking in the right direction. Because one thing in Ephesians chapter 6 that the Bible does not provide protection for is the back. Which means we got no business running from Satan and his darts. If you read that armor, that's nothing back here. Because God expects us to move forward. And then sometimes gird up and stand when they get a little hot and heavy, but we see them coming. Well, we got something to protect us. That's becoming skillful in its use. We begin to hate sin like God does. Now, let me ask you that question. Personal thing, don't answer it. You answer it in your own mind. What is your mindset towards seeing what God has called seeing? What is it? Well, you know, that's just what the Bible says. It ain't, I don't really have to do it. I mean, that's man's word. Why does God kind of, why you got to keep me from this? Because he knows best. That's a problem. We ought to trust him enough and have our senses discerned between good and evil enough to the point where, yes, God, you are right. I need to stay away from that. I don't need to touch. I don't need to bother that. I need to stop doing this or that. I don't feel bad. It don't make me feel. What they got to do with anything? Milk or meat? Because what does meat do? I don't know about you, but I can tell you right now, I have no desire for a parade steak. But a good steak and tater, oh yeah. Sit right here. Get one eye a little lazy over here. Get sleepy, right? You know how it is with them home-cooked meals. Now, I'm working on this. I'm doing a lot better with it. But I like snacks. But snacks don't have the same meaning or same fulfilling as a good old home-cooked meal. Some taters, some chicken, some fat back. If you got good blood pressure, but you didn't hear that part. I'm talking about those meals that just sit and like, oh, that was a good one. And we can have those more than Thanksgiving and Christmas, right? You know that, right?
That's right. That's right.
That's what God's word should do to us if it's meat. You won't have a desire to sin so much. You'll be like, you know what, world, I understand what's out there, but I'm so full of God's word, I ain't got no desire for what you're offering right now. Because I know that's junk food. I know that's just stuff to whet my appetite. You know, sometimes the more salty stuff to eat, the more salty stuff you want. But they ain't got no substance to it. That's the problem with chips. That's why Lay's is right. Can't just eat one. I know that. I'm a commercial for that, but that's a whole nother story. But think about that for a moment. Think about what God's word can do for us. when it goes from milk to meat, but it's based on our desire to grow. It's based on us dedicating ourselves. It's based on us availing ourselves to the study of God's word personally and collectively. That shouldn't be an option for a Christian. God's word is being taught, and the question is, where are you? You know what? I had to eat that second pancake this morning. God's word is being taught. There's spiritual food on the table. But we're skipping meals and expect we're going to be healthy. Now, I don't know anybody's business, but I'm pretty sure we all got a good excuse we keep in our back pocket. But is it going to fly in heaven? Is it really? Just think about it for a moment. It's time for us to do better, and I'm putting myself at the front of the line. God needs us. Not to the point where he can't exist without us, but as a role that he has for each and every person to play in the Lord's body. You got a role, I got a role. And when we don't fulfill it, then we limp through life. If my left knee didn't want to get out of bed like it don't sometimes, you can tell. Because I don't like walking upstairs. I don't like moving. If I sit in the car too long, that thing ache and swell up a little bit. I get to rubbing it. Somebody say you want to go for a walk, go play pickleball. Not today. Old knee acting numb. I can't do it today. I got a heart to, but I can't. And it's just maybe 6-7% of my body? You ever have pain in one body and part of your body is shut down your whole body? That ain't fun. You be like, how in the world can this little thing cause so much pain in my life? I don't want to do nothing. Man, God's word is so good. He has so many blessings. And not only that, it's not just a mandatory thing. But as we grow, man, we're going to see a whole different, another level of God. You ain't seen nothing yet. I hadn't seen nothing yet. I want to see more. But you got to desire. What quenches our desire? Worldly things. I ain't going to put it in another way. That's a whole category in of itself. If you're filled up with worldly stuff, you will have no desire for the sincere milk of the word of God. And you definitely won't want a steak. What can a baby do with a steak except drool on it? So it's going to look like, what am I going to do with this? Man, this word is awesome. As I bring this lesson in for a close, examine yourselves. Galatians 6, 1 through 4. We're never to compare. And the problem is this. We compare ourselves to everybody else but Christ. And what does that sound like? Well, listen here every other Sunday. I know some folks don't come at all. What they got to do, where you going? At least I was here this time. They better be glad I showed up. If that's our attitude, you don't milk. I'll get there when I get there, but if that's your mindset, something wrong. You don't milk. I don't know about you, but my mouth start watering. My nose just twitches a little bit. I get hungry when I wasn't hungry when I smell a good cooking steak on the grill. It don't have to be at my house. It could be, I pull into my neighbor, somebody grilling. Oh, my goodness. I don't know about you. I'm just that way. We were out in Las Vegas, and we were trying to find somewhere to eat, Regina and I, and we were trying to find a source of that good-smelling food. I don't know if we found it or not. But as soon as we stepped out of Brandon's car, that smell hit us. I'm like, what in the world was that? I want that. So we went to the first restaurant. I was like, no, that's not it. We went to the second one. I don't think that was it either. That's just my opinion. But something I smelled like I wanted to run and tackle somebody for it. That's what my mindset was. I don't know about you that way. But that's how we ought to feel about God's word. That's how we ought to feel about it. Because that's the best thing we can have. You think about the best meal, your favorite meal. And if I said I was cooking it today, I know I live in Kannapolis. I guarantee you, if no other way, you got no other way to get there, you jump in the car with me. He said, Curtis, I ain't got no money for gas. Just give me back home. Well, I put $2 for gas in. Just give me back home. You cooking my favorite meal. You cooking it. That's what Bible study and worship is. And some of us have no desire. Check your appetite. I do. I study. But are you ingesting it? Are you not only pouring into that, are you meditating on it and applying it? That's how we get there, folks. Ain't no shortcut. Paul has some more things to teach them. Next week, I'm going to go into some very specific examples of what meat looks like. Because it talks about living the elementary principles. We're going to talk about what elementary principles are next week. And then we're going to talk about some meat stuff that God wants to get us to. We're going to talk about next week how worship is definitely commanded. But where's the purpose of worship? Well, I suppose to praise God. Yes, you are. That's another purpose to worship that we sometimes leave out. It's supposed to leave here with us. It really is. It's supposed to leave here with us. It ain't supposed to just stop right there where Brother Nathan's at the door at. That ain't where it's supposed to stop. If worship all it is coming together and not leaving with us, you may be on milk. That's a good chance you're still on milk. Which means that all I want to be to apply it. I want to be a better person. I had my soul convicted. Oh, I was encouraged. I was admonished. I was lifted up. So now it's going to make a difference in how I live Monday. If I live Monday that way, surely if I do Monday that way, it's going to make a difference how I live Tuesday. That's that righteousness part that the Bible talks about. That's that living part that makes it hard. And if God's word and worship is not making a difference in your life, don't give up hope. That is a sign you're still on milk. That's growth that's there. But the first thing you got to do is admit it. I'm still on milk.
There you go.
I can't do it. I don't go home. I don't feed you. I can't look at yourself. I don't understand how lessons do. I know how it affects me. I know sometimes I need a bill when I'm looking at certain parts of God's word. And that sometimes I need a fork and a knife based on where I am in my own spiritual growth. What about us today? Man, God has so many blessings for us. He can do so many things with us, but it's like Paul. I want to do it for Abimar, but see, I got a lot still on milk. There's so many things I want to do for the church and for my son, but somebody need to be burped over there. And you know how you another sign of milk, we'll cover this next week, is it's all about you. Well, they made me mad, they said something. What they got to do with you serving God? Milk. We're going to talk about that next week. What must we do to be saved? Let's hear the gospel. Believe what we have heard. Repent of our sins. Confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of our sins. And from time to time, we fall short. From time to time. Sin makes us recognize that I'm on milk in this part of my life. I'm on milk. God, I need to grow up. I need your help. I need to stop doing what your word says I should not do or start doing what your word says I should do. But one of the signs of milk is a refusal to acknowledge and repent. That's a sign of milk. Meat says, man, I'm missing out. Man, I ain't ate right since then. I'm tired of eating drive-through spiritual food. I'm tired of that. It don't do nothing. Turn my stomach. If I see another spiritual McDonald's burger, I'm going to throw up. I want a home-cooked meal. I want something to stick to you. I want some Pintos that have been sitting on that wood stove all day and them juices getting the serving. I want a cake of cornbread to go with it. And then for my dessert, I want some buttermilk so I can finish it off. I don't need nothing but a streak of lean. That's all I need. You throw in a piece of chicken, that's fine, but I got a stricoline, some pintos, some cornbread and milk, I'm good. Don't need nothing else. I don't need to stop by, the service station up there and get my 4 bags of chips. I don't need that no more. That's God's word. We're going to work on it because I really want us to help, and I'm helping myself, first of all. I really want us to help us understand how important it is and what it can do for us. But you got to sharpen your appetite first. Some of us are sick. Some of us have no type of appetite at all. That's a sign of sickness. Just like I said with my little grandson Elias. If we went out there and first time we saw him, they tried to give him a bottle. He didn't want to eat, not just at the moment, like 2-3 days. You can best believe we rushed him to a hospital. That's a sign of a sick child. When somebody loses their appetite, one of the things that happens at the end of life that's kind of a sign is folks just don't want to eat. They have no desire for food. That's a sick person. You can fix their favorite food. Like it don't even matter to them. They don't even like the smell of it anymore. That's somebody who's sick.
indication that you're sick in God's eyes is in God's words for vengeance for you, and you have no desire for it, go to the great physician. And we do that by hearing the gospel, believing we have heard, repenting of my sins, confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and being baptized for the remission of my sin, placed into Christ Jesus. From time to time, got a little milk on our breath. That's sin. So we need to do something about it. So if you have one desire or the other, put on Christ in baptism, request special prayer. We ask you to please come forward to sing a verse of 452.